Welcome to Declarations of War Podcast, episode 54. Thank you for tuning in with us. Host this time around are myself, Alexei of Card, Ali Aris, and unfortunately Ninja Turtle could not be here. Our special guest is CSM8 Wormhole Representative James Argent.
Hello.
Who is alive, contrary to popular belief. Well, we'll get into that in a second. First off, some shout-outs. I'd like to give a shout-out to all the Declarations of War fans in Test and Test Renner Alliances in Delve. Turns out there is quite a few of you, and considering I was trying to kill them at the time, they've shown a lot of love to the podcast. So I look forward to talking about you guys when the time comes.
And I want to give a shout-out, to all the various EVE players who've been teaching me to play League of Legends over the past 2 weeks, including Alec, hey there, and been putting up with me sucking it up.
It's fun to queue up with Alec because you just get the stomp noobs.
Let's see, I have a shout out for that CCP dev that's been helping me. You know who you are. Thanks, bro.
I don't know who he is.
I hope he listens to the show. Alright, so James, for our rotating segment, we're going to give a little interview to you here. You were the top vote-getter. You were the top vote-getter for Wormholers.
That doesn't really work. It's STV. There is...
You beat Chizo. So where have you been?
Okay. I've been CSMing and flying around in spaceships and being James.
Was the communication platform not a big part of the wormhole thing?
I did not mention communication at all. I very consciously said, I will talk to you just as much as I'm talking to you right now. And I have held true to that.
Good man.
During the wormhole debate, which was a massive 2-hour marathon of awesomeness, Chitza and Nathan especially, I think, and the guy was like, oh yeah, I'm going to communicate so well with the community, blah blah blah. And then Two-Step said, oh, you're so cute. It doesn't work.
I remember that. It was one of my favorite moments.
So my response to the how will you communicate was, if there's stuff to talk about, I'll talk about it. And that's what I've held to, because there hasn't been a hell of a lot to talk about. But when there has been, I was there for the town hall. I'm here now. I get the word out when it's important, and otherwise I will keep quiet and talk with CCP, and you can all bugger off because I hate the official forums. Really, though, we have Ali, we have Melkanis, we have Ripard, we've got Mike. I don't want to have people go to the water fountain and get a fire hose. It's not my forte. I'm not going to stick my nose into the public view when I don't need to, so... Everything is getting done, and I'm not going to interfere with that.
So do you get a lot of sort of private emails and stuff from wormholers asking you about stuff a lot?
Not often. There's been a few people who have bugged me about it, certain issues. Often they get relayed straight up to CCP, or they get, kind of ignored. It's like, no, I can't tell you how wormholes work. I'm sorry, but just because I'm your CSM rep does not mean I'm going to tell you or even know the exact spawning mechanics of W space. That's an actual question I got in an email. So, sorry, bro. However, someone also convoed me one night as I'm, like, entering structure in my Hurricane. It's like, hey, if you look at your preferences on the Evilopedia, it lists your account name as the default signature for comments. I'm like, oh, really? Interesting. Once I was successfully through the wormhole and not dying, I checked it, and sure enough, it did. So 15 minutes later, CCP Veritas had taken the wiki offline to look into the issue. So yeah, I'm open to reasonable feedback, and luckily I don't get enough of it that I feel overwhelmed.
Alright, so let's talk about wormholing in general, because I had two wormhole candidates on the show, and let's just say that the range of positions on wormholes was not very large. So, considering it was somewhat of a homogeneous field, and you guys were all voting STV anyway, so you're almost assured to get one, if not two people on. Why you? Why now? What issues are the main concern for you? And can you report any progress on them?
Why did I get elected? Is that what you're asking?
No, why did you run?
Oh.
Considering you had like
I'm not going to give you my stump speech all over again.
Well, you had like a gazillion other nearly identical candidates. What was like, oh, I need to be the guy?
It's not necessarily, it's I need to be the guy. It's a, well, I can certainly do it. Let's, you know, like, have an election to figure out who people like the best. So we did. And I won. Progress on specific issues? Yes. Yep, that's about all I can say right now. Hopefully it will come to fruition. It certainly is looking positive right now, but yes, I have been making progress on WSpace specific issue.
Can you give general categories as to which issues you've been advocating for? Is it POS stuff? Is it PvE stuff? What do you see as the most pressing concern?
Oh boy. The most pressing concern for WSpace has generally been the lack of iteration, and also the lack of enrichment that other parts of the game have enjoyed with general upgrade features. So, you know, we had Retribution come out. Wonderful! Bounty hunting! Fantastic! Fabulous! Because you're totally going to track someone down in wormhole space to collect their bounty. Like, hey, we're going to make autopilot really cool because the gates point toward your destination and there's this line going off. And it's like, great, I will enjoy that for all the time where I'm autopiloting through wormhole space. So generally, the issues of WSpace is that these big, awesome game-wide features either don't do anything for wormhole space or they do very little for it. You know, the Odyssey expansion was hailed as this great exploration thing, and then the wormhole people just went, that's it? Really? Because now it takes us an hour to run a relic site and get all the crap out of it.
Well, isn't that sort of the nature of where you are, though? I mean, you're in the, sort of the middle of nowhere, hard to get to space. You don't have any of the infrastructure of the other empires. There's no gates. There's no Concord, nothing like that, so...
Right, but we're also a third of the systems in the game.
Yeah, but would you be happier with, like, oh, well, we want autopilot to work, so you can see the gate animations, so we're gonna have people be able to build gates to different wormhole systems.
Oh, God, don't even suggest gates to wormhole systems.
Well,
no.
I'm just listening to you. Like, is that a change you'd be happier with?
No. Basically, my goal is that when new features come up, you know, I've got four nice little things that I ran on. New content, so, you know, more than four anomalies per wormhole system. Like, that's it, we have four anomalies and four combat signatures. That's not a lot of variety. Luckily, actually, it's not soon, but there is progress being made on that in a roundabout kind of way. God, I feel like that may have even been too much and people are going to get their hopes up. Don't get your hopes up, people, but it is going to change eventually. So I'd love to see more actual content, more, you know, like, we get nano ribbons, and that's pretty much the only resource you ever pull out of WSpace. You know, something other than that would be kind of nice. And so, new content, inclusion, which is what I was talking about with the autopiloting and system nebula and all that kind of thing. And retribution bounties, improvement, which is little quality of life stuff, and that actually has been coming along very well. Odyssey, at least from a quality of life standpoint, was fantastic for WSpace because we can repackage things at POSes. Awesome. We can launch all the probes at once instead of having to constantly click probe launcher. Fantastic. And then safeguarding, was the last piece, which is making sure that changes to other parts of the game don't kind of screw over other playstyles. And that wasn't all that great in Odyssey regarding WSpace. It's like, oh, if you want to see if someone's jumping into your system, you need to only keep the scanner open. You don't even need probes out. If someone rolls into you, you know. It just tells you right there. And that was pretty lame. So that's my approach to CSMing.
Yeah, I know I appreciate having you and Shitsa both around for the safeguarding, because I'll come up with something and I'm like, oh, this is a great idea. Hey, James, if this was true, how would it break wormhole space? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is, oh god, it would break it horribly.
Let's get away from some CSM stuff for a second. Let's talk about James the player.
Oh, I'm a terrible player. I'm really bad at politics. People make me FC because I've just been doing it for a long time, and half the time I get people killed. I'm also perpetually broke.
I know that feel. But what do you do? Who are you with? For those people that aren't familiar with you.
I am the founder of Future Core, which is the only real corporation in the Sleeper Social Club Alliance. Not Guiding Hand Social Club, Sleeper Social Club. I've been in FC for 2.5 years now. You know, everything seemed to go well, and I started the damn thing, so I see no reason to leave it. C5, with static C5 wormholes, where we live now. We've moved twice. We're pretty happy with where we're living currently. I'm
Any
a
hot
director.
Invasion plans you want to talk about?
Invasion plans? No. I actually led our last invasion. It was London. We name our invasions after cities, which is kind of cool. It was London, and it went absolute tits up. The planning period for this invasion was about 30 minutes. And then we just dived in with multiple capitals and lots of people. And it ended with us pretty much fighting a cap fight to a stalemate, and then losing whole control, and I think it was Exhale got hired by the defenders, and Exhale came and went, god damn it, SSC. Really? Again? Stop that. Largely, it's because we tried to get about a 30 billion-esque bounty. The goal was to improve upon our last big bounty, which was 25 billion. We got paid 25 billion to leave system and leave them alone. So it was trying to improve on that, and they only offered us 10, which was kind of insulting. Because we counted, I think it was like 50 or 60 ship maintenance arrays in that system, and 3 XL SMAs. So they clearly had money laying around.
And ships laying around.
Gotta pay up.
Not a lot of ships, but just SMAs everywhere. And it was really disappointing because we actually got into a cap fight where they had brought Moros and Abadons out to kill the bubble wrapping. And we'd brought our own Moroses and Archon over, and I was in the Archon. And we had a Moros down to structure. We pulled damage to try to get a Hick over there to prevent him from being able to reship into another Moros. We waited like a minute, and then we realized it was going to take us too long. We resumed damage, and we waited too long. He fell out of siege. He caught triage reps, and then they got another Moros out of the shield. And it was 3-on-2. We lost one, had one warp off, and then all three Moros turned on me and the Archon and absolutely blew me away. The good news is my bounty is down from over a billion to like 500 million now.
And what kind of fleets do you usually FC? Tech 3s and that sort of thing?
Vast majority is Tech 3s. Because the vast majority of what we fly is Tech 3. It's all close range armor, brawling, T3, and Logi support.
Do you guys have a specific, it's a mercenary podcast, it's also a PvP podcast. Do you guys have a specific Tech 3 that you try to push people around? Is it Proteus? Is it Legion?
Oh, just the opposite. We need everything. We need all of them. We need Web Lokis, we need Damage Protei with Extended Point. Generally, those are the only two configurations of those ships we need. Although artillery and autocannon Lokis are both very good. Artillery for driving off recons, autocannon for actually applying, you know, that explosive damage. Ham legions and laser legions are both well welcome, both in the anti-ECM role with Dissolution Sequencer and with the fast lock subsystem. My latest flavor of the month is I have a legion I've named Shay, because it's an absolute killmail whore. It has a double SIBO and tactile targeting, which means that I've got a scan res of 1400.
Wow.
Yeah. So if we go out and we're going to try to like bust up a gate camp or something, then that is what I bring, because at one point we ended up going on an impromptu nullsec roam and getting into a three-way. I saw a hound decloak. I two-shotted it, and with a lock time of like 2 seconds. But here's the really nasty part. All the guardians had assigned their drones to assist me, so what should have been this awesome solo kill of mine had these three whoring guardians on it. I was mad.
Anyway. That's why you bring the warriors and the guardians, so.
Yeah. And then the other legion that we use, which is really nasty for not expecting it, is the Newt Legion. Especially because we have guardians just about all the time, so each Newt Legion has a permanent incoming energy transfer, which means that it runs all 7 of its Newts flat out with no problem. And actually, for a while, I was rocking an 8 Newt Legion with high grade 1 through 5 talismans, which gives it 80% the Newting power of a Balgorn.
Yeah, I'm not as a big fan of the Newt Legion. It's quite nice.
And then finally, Tengu, even in armor roll as an ECM ship, because Falcons do not have the resilience. Scorpions have way too much mass, so it's all about the Tengu for when it needs to actually take fire and live. And then if our members can't use any of those, grab a heavy assault cruiser, grab a navy battle cruiser, grab a command ship, and just work your way up to it.
Believe you guys would make much use of the new Armageddon.
It's too heavy.
Mm.
I mean, the Newt range is fantastic, but you can't fall into thinking that it's a better Newting power platform than any other battleship. If you're going after capitals, bring a Balgorn or an Abaddon, really, because you don't need the range for a capital, you need the extra tank and the extra Newting power. If you're looking to mess up subcaps, by all means. But I don't really see it as an anti-capital platform.
Alright, cool. And Sleeper Social Club, what's your alliance philosophy? Or do you have any kind of founding perspective? Or are you just another wormhole alliance?
Well, the alliance isn't really much of anything because it is just Future Core. We briefly had... It was for a decent little while we had a LOSEC PvP Corp as part of the alliance, because we would go out to LOSEC and roam with them, and it was all happy, fun times. We knew each other from EVE University. But the mantra of Future Core is to always be improving. That's the name of it. Literally, it's future. It's looking toward what we can be. So we try to get AARs up, we try to evolve our fleet concepts, and we've done a fairly good job of it. We always honor ransoms, we try to have at least a little bit of E-honor, we try to avoid suicide ganking and that kind of shenanigans, because generally it's fun to meet people in a challenge, but if someone is clearly looking to just go and do their own thing and run missions in high sec, well then let them be. There's plenty of other people who are much more enthusiastic about getting into PvP with us, so we might as well just go for them.
Alright. Allie, do you have any questions?
Not really. What would be your... I've had a couple of people who've come asking me, you know, where would I go if I wanted to get into wormhole space? Is Future Core a good place for that? If so, what's your 5-second recruiting pitch?
It's a pretty nice place. Our recruiting pitch is go away. We're closed right now.
Oh, okay.
Until after the Alliance tournament is over. We are a somewhat hardcore playstyle, in that if you're not logging in, you know, every other day, you're not going to get much out of it. And really, the number one thing to keep in mind in W space is you have to be a bit of a self-starter. Actually, this is going to be two things. You have to be a bit of a self-starter, and it's feast-famine. It is hours and hours and hours of boredom, and then moments of sheer exhilaration, like any other kind of exploration.
Very cool.
How are you feeling about the Alliance tournament? Like, your chances? Who are you fighting first?
Oh my god. Have you seen our bracket?
No, haven't.
Okay, so our first match is against Goonswarm Federation. Not the worst thing, but not exactly a cakewalk. Because they have one of the largest player pools in the game.
They're also goons.
Right. That's a point against them, unfortunately. Mina commented, "Oh, you're fighting us? Congratulations on the bye." Probably a bit of an exaggeration, but hey, we all have Hydra's fleet comps now, so we can all field awesome fleets. And then the other, our second match is going to be the winner of a match between Outbreak, which is the true victors of Alliance Tournament 9, and Verge of Claps, who is the full winner of Alliance Tournament 10. So,
yeah.
Fuck me, right?
We've got Shadow Cartel in the opening, and then if we happen to survive that, we have Hun Reloaded, probably, and if not, freaking Darkseid. So, not quite as bad of a second round as you, but I think our first round is way worse.
We've got Snake Wave, so, you know, good luck with that for us. When we lose that one, we've got the loser of Circle of Two versus Scum. And then if we win that one, we face up with the winner of the Verge of Collapse Outbreak. We end up fighting Verge of Collapse Outbreak or you guys, James.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds awesome, because we already had our little scrimmage, and I was pretty happy with the results of that.
Yeah, you guys did kind of smash us around. We've got, you know, more comps, more different comps, and we've improved since then. But I think actually we end up fighting the winner of your losing match, so we're probably, you know, if you're feeling good against Verge of Collapse or Outbreak, we can end up fighting you. If you're not, we'll end up fighting Verge of Collapse or Outbreak, and that's how we'll lose.
Which means you just have to make sure you win your opener.
We all have our path to getting knocked out of the tournament pretty well laid out. I love it.
The meta this year is going to be significantly different from last year, though, with all of the ships being buffed and the points readjustments.
It's pretty unpredictable. At least that's the way I feel. I mean, I've heard people really shout down some compositions that were absolutely dominant in previous years because of the points changes. Specifically talking battlecruisers, despite the buff, I don't think people think that they're worth the points.
Cyclones are straight out. They're not worth it anymore. Marauders, that's the other big one. Marauders got a 2-point bump, so I don't think anyone's going to be fielding Vargers or Kronoses this year. So they're straight out the window, too.
Yeah, and I don't know about that. I think maybe they're a little... I would say maybe shave off a point for the Marauder, because it's as good as a faction battleship, sort of, but it has, like, cruiser ECM strength. It's super easy to counter.
Well, Marauders are up to 19 points this year from 17 last year, whereas Navy faction battleships are down from 20 to 19.
Marauders,
so I think we're going to see a lot of Navy faction battleships instead of Marauders.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
Which
Navy faction battleship do you think is going to come out to the forefront? Any predictions?
Navy Dami, Navy Scorp.
Allie?
I could see someone doing an interesting thing with fleet typhoons, but they're pretty fast and pretty high damage.
Yeah, the only thing I would worry about the fleet phone is that it doesn't really have a lot of room to work with. I don't think kiting setups are going to be very strong this year. This is my prediction.
But you're allowed to use micro jump drives.
Yeah, but then you're trading away a lot of the maneuverability built into that hull.
But instant 100-kilometer blink, I mean, how much more kitey can you get?
Well, you also have to worry about if you're doing that 100-kilometer blink anywhere but towards the beacon, you are very likely going to have a quick little tangle with the Edge of Glory.
Yeah, so your kiting is going to be, oh my god, please don't scare me, please don't scare me. Okay, now I'm on the other side of you, about 70 kilometers away.
Luckily, cruise missiles are going to absolutely be wrecking light tackle.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're going to see quite a few cruise boats.
Go ahead, Allie.
I was just going to say, I've already gotten murdered by cruise missiles on Tranquility.
I haven't run into them on Tranquility, but I predict they'll make an appearance in the Alliance tournament at least once. I don't know if they're going to be in the winning setup, though. Not for any problem of theirs, but I don't think the compositions around them are going to be robust enough to get through.
Makes sense.
I'm not sure what will, but...
I think one of the main differences this year is that there's going to be very few slow matches. I think that people are going to get damage applied very quickly with cruise missiles and such, and E-War is going to play less of a role because they doubled the point costs of Tech 1 disruption frigates. And so you're going to have a lot of less people being able to field those.
But on the other hand, the disruption cruisers have gotten quite a bit of a buff, the Tech 1 ones, thanks to
That's
the
true.
Rebalancing. So the Blackbird, I mean, it's got a little more tank, it's, I think, more range, or some other advantage. The Celestis got a major buff. The Arbitrator got a major range and tank buff. You could see these come into play. The only one I'm a little doubtful on is the Bellicose, just because target painters.
Yeah, the trouble is that doesn't leave you many points for damage dealing. I mean, the cruisers are down from 8 to 7 points, which is a pretty big reduction. But if you put your E-War in your cruisers, that leaves you not nearly as many points for damage dealing compared to the, you know, triple Griffin teams that we've seen before.
Quite true. It's a trade-off of durability. You know, those Griffins, I mean, it tends to... When you play an E-War team, and this is true of every Alliance tournament, when you play an E-War team, it snowballs one way or the other. Either you kill the first ship, and then the rest of the team becomes progressively easier to control. Or you lose one of your ECM ships, and then you lose control of the fight, and it just snowballs against you.
It's also true that ECM got a bit of a nerf recently in the form of the sensor strength skills. And so, if an Alliance is going to field an ECM comp, I don't know about other E-War, certainly Damps are going to be big this year. But if they want to field a pure ECM comp, they might find themselves running into trouble with jams not being as effective as they have been in the past.
Remains to be seen. Alright. Before we get into anything else, we're going to talk about our sponsor, EVE Timecode. Buy 14 EVE Timecodes, get one free, evetimecode.com, where your business counts. Alright, poll results. We've got Malicious Alliance disbands. 64% think it is cool! Exclamation point. Whereas 36% of our audience think it's not cool, bro. I voted not cool, bro. I think
you put it as not cool, bro.
I think it is not cool, bro. As fun as it is to see occasionally, I think there are too many problems with the underlying mechanics to really appreciate it as a truly dastardly deed. I mean, it's an evil thing to do to somebody. It's devastating to that Alliance's membership, especially if you, like, create a fake corp to take away their name and tag. But at the same time, I feel like there are so many loopholes that it's not as difficult to do as it probably should be, and thus not as impressive.
I feel like if an alliance or a corporation is on its way out anyway, then you might as well just go out with a bang.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. It's definitely a... I think the drama it causes is pretty cool, although I see where you're coming at with the mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, it's the shares thing, for the most part.
Yeah, shares are dumb.
Yeah.
I actually had a director of my corporation very early on, so that we're talking like 4 months into our existence, offer to take offline all of our towers and give an entrance to our blood enemies. So I have been in that situation, and our mortal enemies said, no, they're good people, even though we hate them, we're not going to be evil like that. And I certainly wouldn't want to take away the opportunity for that kind of stuff to happen.
It's a very Eve thing, but, you know, it's... gotta really be careful who you trust, given the directorship out. I just don't like that it's... yeah. I mean, for the most part, I guess it's cool. It's definitely... the events that happen afterward, I think, are way cooler than the actual thing. Like, the shakeup that it usually causes. That is fun.
Although this time it got, the whole shakeup got completely resolved within about 24 hours. Everyone just undocked their supers, ground down the stations, and put up a new set of TCUs, and I don't think any Soviet even got lost permanently.
Super capital proliferation isn't a problem, right, CCP Posse? Can only grind two regions in less than a day.
Yeah, no big deal.
All good. Eve news, speaking of, just a general update on the test clusterfuck war. We need a new name for test coalition. I've heard NPT, TPN, PNT.
I've been calling it the Fuck Goons Coalition.
I like that one.
Yeah, that sort of works.
I was
just as evocative as the clusterfuck coalition.
Well, they had just after our last podcast was recorded, there was a massive battle in Z9P, which saw Test deploy nearly its entire capital fleet, and the Goonswarm side was planning to escalate, and CCP tried to reinforce the node, but just by virtue of, I'm not even joking, literally by virtue of a typo, they accidentally cleared a different node with a sort of the same name, and completely wiped that system.
Q and Z are right next to each other.
So they were taking all systems off node except for, and here's, I believe this is how it works, the CCPer typed in the system that they wanted to leave active, and they typed in Q9PP instead of Z9PP. And as a result, instead of having all of its resources freed up, as a result of all the other nodes being remapped, Z9 was included in that remap.
And everyone was disconnected instantly, which left this major battle with a really abrupt, at the time, inexplicable stop. No one knew what was going on. And the practical effect of it was that tests basically just told their capital fleet, do not log in. Do not log in. Do not abort. And
yeah.
Basically, they just kept their cap fleet safe till CFC fucked off, and then they managed to save, what, over 100 carriers, something like that?
Yeah, and they didn't have any aggression because of the way the remap works. It's not just like everyone being logged off. Your ship is instantly removed from space completely, so even if... I don't know how long it took CCP to finish remapping the node and bring it back up, but even if it had been remapped quickly, been brought back up quickly, the carriers would not have still been in space. They were just gone the minute that button was pressed.
Yeah, it was brought up within a few minutes, so it's not like it was down for an hour or anything silly like that, but no one in the right mind would log back into that when they're losing.
So after Z9P, things have sort of calmed down a little bit, I think. There have been a few similar size battles, but with nowhere near the level of commitment. And I think it's mostly been each side trading fleets, but not trading systems. As far as I know, Clusterfuck still has a fairly decent sized foothold in Fountain, but Test is holding their ground.
Yeah, I think a couple of systems have flipped, but it hasn't been like a major push or anything like that.
Yeah, it's like Test will take one back, and then Goons will take a Pass or something, or like one of their moons or something like that. I'd say it's almost like skirmish warfare if you did skirmish warfare with thousand-sized fleets.
As someone that isn't usually all that privy to NullSec, this has been fantastic to watch. If for nothing else, the high-quality propaganda that both sides have been generating on a regular basis.
Oh yeah, the spin zone is in full effect for this, man. If you talk to Test, they're pushing the CFC back. You talk to Goons, they're not winning fast enough and they're laughing about it.
One of the main things that CFC has been making fun of Test for is, haha, they can't even pay their ship reimbursements. And to a large degree, that's pretty true. However, there was something of a news story earlier this week where some affluent player went and donated somewhere around 40 billion ISK to Test, and they went through and they paid off every single one of their ship reimbursements. So they don't have a massive war chest, but Test is not on the verge of breaking by any stretch.
Well, you could look at that. I mean, that's the way that Test would tell it to you. If you look at their internal updates, it's like, yes, we're not having financial windfalls at the moment. We are asking members for donations to do stuff like ship replacement, presumably to pay their bills. But in like 2 or 3 months, we'll be perfectly fine.
It's not good to ask for donations, but as long as they get the donations, then it's fine.
I mean, in 2 or 3 months, everything will be perfectly fine is the thing that everyone who's behind on their budget says.
And I don't see a way that that's going to happen. I mean, like, where is this mysterious income source going to come from?
Well,
that's what the war is over.
If they were actually able to win the war and push the CFC out of Fountain, they'd have Fountain and all of its moons. But given the relative sizes in war chests, I think saying that the war will totally be over and done in 3 months is optimistic.
Meanwhile, CFC, despite not having the best moons, still able to fight. It's assumed that both coalitions are somewhat on borrowed time because Clusterfuck has reduced income just from the changes to moons, so they're presumably running off their war chest at the moment, whereas Test has lost significant income and is having to replace far more fleets than they're used to, so they're running on fumes as well. I think the real question is Pandemic Legion and Nulli, and how, to what degree those two groups are going to be willing to fund Test. Because it seems pretty clear that Test on its own, I mean, yeah, Test is asking, you know, for donations from the members and they're getting them, but if CFC were to do that, they'd presumably get the same level of donation as well. So if you want to talk about who's ahead in the ISK war, you'd have to say CFC. Specifically Goons, if you want to compare Goons and Test directly.
Yeah. They're ahead.
Yep, and if Yell and Nulli at any point just get completely tired of fighting with Test, or, you know, if you're listening to the Goon propaganda wiping Test behind, then that'll be the end of that.
Pro-God Legend put out a Nulli Secunda alliance update, really pushing for greater participation in the war. So doesn't sound
Test participation. Said it was a little underwhelming. That has been said by Nulli people. I don't know if that was in that specific update.
Yeah, I don't think that was part of the S2N update. I want to go and read it now again to make sure. But, yeah, basically he said, you know, we should be filling multiple fleets a day or only filling one or two, or one and a little bit extra. And we need to go all in on this. So rather than pulling out because of the solve drop, they went, cleaned house, and then came back with a vengeance. Go figure.
No, I don't blame them. They have, or at least, I'm pretty sure that this is the update you're talking about, basically said that their entire coalition's existence is predicated on this ultimate conflict against Clusterfuck.
That was really weird for me to hear, because I know that that was the entire basis of the HBC, but I had never heard of that in the context of N3.
I hadn't either, but it sort of makes a little bit of sense, I guess. I mean, they were never terribly hostile toward Test, but I'm just a little mystified as to where the hostility against Goons came from, because if you think about Nully's history, and they were the previous residents of Delve, it was Test and Pandemic Legion that kicked them out. It's Test and Pandemic Legion that, you know, that were specifically the Honey Badger Coalition that had sort of edged them out of some space. But I guess they got used to having them as a neighbor or something, and hate Goons for something else entirely. But it's certainly strange to see. Either way, I don't think this war is going to be over anytime soon, but we will get some memorable times. Specifically one thing, so I guess tangentially related to the war. Pandemic Legion was going hunting in Losec with one of the most, in fact, the most expensive ship in the game, the only faction super capital, the Revenant, which you get from Losec incursion sites, and got brought into possibly one of the most elaborate traps to kill a single ship I've ever seen. And it died. Like, 240 billion just up and gone instantly. It wasn't even that difficult to kill, by all reports. Basically, they had a director that was looking to go out with a bang, and figured he would feed one of their hunting super capital fleets to Black Legion.
Not even, as I understand it, a director. I think he was just one that NFC who'd had some success with fishing expeditions before.
Oh, you're correct. It was an FC, but he was a super capital FC and was sort of known as being the kind of guy that leads these fleets. So right. No one really questioned him. He said he had a target. No one asked about it. No one asked where it was going. They just sort of all piled into his fleet and expected to get fed a free kill.
He wasn't even a well-known FC. He got someone else to ping for him.
He was well enough that they didn't question his motives. Or didn't, in fact, question about anything. Like, what the target was, who it was, where it was.
This
what
is
it
all
was doing there.
This is all memorialized in one of the better SoundClouds to come out of recent Eve. Great recording of Graf being very angry about all of this.
Because they have no less than 12 spies in Black Legion!
12!
And any one of them could have told you they had 20 fucking...
50 yeah. Dreadnoughts on standby. And you decide to go fishing where?
Oh my god. So
you
yeah, it was
set
Black
up. You
Legion.
Were stupid.
It was pizza. It was D&D. It was Snuffbox. Pretty much a who's who of the Losec powerhouse elite PvP alliances.
And Verge of Claps, I might inject, who were the masterminds of it. Those, you know, wormhole scrubs hiding out in their C5 space.
It was like a who's who of elite PvP.
Yeah, pretty much. It's hard to tell who is going to get the greatest reputation bump from this, but my money is actually on Jeff Raider, just for his insistence that everyone is nomad, let's go play Chivalry.
Yeah, but I'd have to say he came off pretty, well, at least from the SoundCloud portion of things, I think he came off the best. In terms of the incident in general, It's hard to say that Black Legion needs any more reputation, but I would suspect they'd have gotten it. I think Snuffbox feels like they've gotten a little bit of revenge for PL stealing their flag off the roof of CCP's headquarters. And I imagine Verge has to feel pretty damn good about it for masterminding the whole thing, but they're still more of a... I mean, as much as they do in Zero-Zero, they're still primarily a wormhole-focused power. And they were already Alliance Tournament champions.
They use wormhole space mostly as a staging point to go around to Nullsec.
They don't participate in any invasions or anything like that?
Well, they will, like, you know, the majority of their activity is Nullsec-based, and they use W-Space as a basing, as a staging point for that. They certainly go and fight in W-Space, but they are one of the, you know, they are very, very PvP-focused corporation, which you can do when you have Atanas laying around you can sell off for $50 billion apiece whenever you need more money. Must be nice. And so they just get to, you know, joke around and go have jollies shooting at ratters all day.
Sounds like fun to me. I wonder how Black Legion will do in the Alliance Tournament. I'm pretty sure they're entered. Not 100% sure, but... No, I guess they're not.
They've got bigger revenants to fry.
Oh. Verge will do well again, I'm sure. They're just a solid alliance in general. They have a tough bracket, though. First matchup against Outbreak. Champion versus champion.
That's ridiculous that the very first round is getting the champs of 9 and 10 to fight each other. They really need to bring back some kind of seeding process.
No, I think it's awesome. It gives people something to look forward to. Now, non-pandemic Legion, etc. related news. There's also conflict going on in Nullsec in different regions, specifically in period basis. Unclaimed Dot has also had its alliance imploded, although by all reports it was done by the actual executor. And in their place, you're seeing a lot of familiar Russian faces, sometimes under different alliances, but not always. AAA has retaken their first system. They've also pulled back some pretty solid mainstay corps of their heyday, and they're now back in the alliance. You've got Darkness and Despair, which is a sort of an amalgamation of, I don't know, like a who's who in the Russian PvP community. And Solar is also making some comebacks. So you're just seeing a general across-the-board Russian resurgence. I think this poses a very interesting challenge for a lot of the alliances that are in the South, because I'm pretty sure just about all of them are deployed somewhere or another, except for, say, the Initiative and their coalition. They might have to come back home sooner than they think.
So, I don't know too much about this, however, I do know that X-Death...
Did I say period basis? I meant Paragon Soul. That's stupid.
I do know that X-Death and Solar are continuing the Russian Civil War that's gone on ever since the fall of the DRF. And I saw a great battle report where Legion of X-Death fielded a Cruise Raven fleet against artillery maelstroms and absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Wow.
So, they were having trouble dealing with Solar Tengus, and apparently whenever they, you know, whenever Solar brings battleships, they get answered with Cruise Ravens now.
I would not have thought off the top of my head that the Cruise Raven would be a counter to an artillery fleet.
It's range. It's max range.
I guess. They need to get themselves some Probers, get some Warpins. Raven's not going anywhere if you warp on top of it.
Micro jump drive.
True. True. You're also seeing Coven making a comeback. That's also in Paragon Soul. I really liked Coven. They were tough. Sort of cool to see them coming back. I don't know, as much crap as the Russians got for their how should we say, controversial ISK-making activities at times, and certainly for their isolationism. I think there's something to be said for having these kind of alliances around, because they're ever-present threats. And they don't have to be in large numbers. They're never really too interested in making these grand coalition alliances. They have their friends. It's the same friends that have been around for years and years and years. And occasionally they'll just roll somebody over. And if they happen to get rolled upon, pretty much like the changing of the seasons, you can expect them to be back trying to retake their systems before long. And it's a really cool dynamic that the English language speaking community just doesn't seem to have.
We're just too big.
Yeah, perhaps. But I mean, even the other, like, there's no German equivalent, there's no French equivalent. It's the Russians that really stick together like this. Or stick together and kill each other. Either way. I think they would sort of prefer it if they could defeat the entire game and just have an all-Russian, like, good versus evil conflict, great war to just win everything. I really do.
Be interesting to watch.
Indeed. And you're seeing Solar make some sov gains, actually, relatively recently. Taking mostly stuff in cash, it looks like. Or cachet, however you want to say it. But I suppose that's where the fighting with Xdeath is going on by the look of the map. They are sitting right next to pretty much Dinner Coalition, which, you guys have a feeling about them as a group?
Who, Dinner Coalition? Nope.
I don't. Maybe it's their shitty name. I don't know.
It's their... They've got kind of a meh name. They've got, initiative is pretty decent. Otherwise, they've got kind of a couple of the dregs of the HBC. I think I might be interested in them once they've gone through a little bit more and they've, come out with something solid, but right now, just waiting to see how that turns out for them, basically.
Yeah, I just feel like it's initiative and a bunch of hangers-on. Whether that's fair or not, it's like the initiative and the HBC leftovers, like whatever Tess didn't want. That's not ideal. But I guess they held their own for a little while against the Russian onslaught. The death of Unclaimed, or at least the partial death of Unclaimed, is probably gonna force the issue, I would imagine. They're gonna have to come together as a coalition and push these guys back. Or I think they're just gonna see a slow and steady trickle of systems that go back to the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. If any of the if we have any Russian listeners that have a little more insight into the fighting that's going on down there, or anyone from Dinnerco that wants to send us some updates, we are happy to hear from it and give a little more publicity as to stuff that's not the CFC test war, because it is interesting. Moving on to our contracts, we have a contract ongoing right now. We are fighting in the clusterfuck test conflict. We've been deployed to Delve to take care of the test renters and test NPCers, of which we are doing a fantastic job. We have not only broken our 1 week damage record on contract, but we have now officially dealt more damage in Delve than in any contract in our history, which is saying a lot, actually.
How much is that damage?
The previous record was 41 billion. We are now sitting pretty at 46 and a half.
Nice.
Over the course week and a half. Say again?
Is that mostly a few big ships, or is that just a lot of, Tengus and other sort of medium expensive boats?
I'd say it's a fair number of medium expensive stuff. It's spread over 241 kills. I'll just give you guys the highlights. We'll talk about the contract in total when it's done and when Turtle's here to give me some noir backup. But as far as the highlight kills, the big stat that jumps out at me is the battleship numbers. We've killed over 21 billion in battleships.
Holy wow.
And that's over 52 battleships. So these battleships are faction sometimes. Faction fit, even if they're not. We've killed 5.5 billion, excuse me, in battle cruisers. We've killed 3 billion in pods. 1 billion in hacks. 1.5 billion in industrials. 6.8 billion in marauders. And one strategic cruiser worth 4.5 billion.
Just one T3 cruiser?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Are you hurting for your wallet there, James?
No! Well, sort of. Fly more of them, people. Come on, they're great boats. If they blow up, that's cool. I can give you more. Or sell you more. You know, you have to pay for them.
I'll put the kill mail in question here in the studio chat.
Also, it wasn't 4 even billion is fit. Ridiculous.
It no, wasn't it, even yes, a derpy it is fit. Derpy. It wasn't it even is a derpy. Ratter. No, it was a good fit. Look at it.
If you're spending 4 billion on it, it's a derpy fit.
Basically, what I'm looking
oh, he
at
was
is
carrying
sort of
a
super
snake
Vega.
Set in his cargo? Are you kidding me?
That was the derpy part. The fit was great. Not the rest of it.
Alright, fit was fine.
Fit was fine. He wasn't NPCing, so he was traveling in a non-interdiction nullified Tech 3.
So that's a derpy fit.
With a full high-grade snake set in his cargo hold, about half of which dropped.
The Omega dropped, and the Epsilon, and the Delta.
Mm-hmm.
So you lost two of the cheapest ones, and you got all the expensive ones.
Other fit highlights, a ditch medium energy neutralizer, which I had previously never even seen before. I guess it's one of those Cosmos items.
Yeah, that's storyline.
Not bad.
He wasn't even cloaky.
Nope, no cloak, no interdiction nullified. It's a super vagabond, is what it looks like to me. It's got a micro warp drive, a faction point, faction web, and everything else, like autocannons, low slots or nanofiber, two track enhancer, two gyrostabs. It looks like a vagabond. It should fly like a vagabond. I don't know what the hell he was doing tackling a Tengu at the time. Looks like he was got by one of our Tengu HKs. I just drop your slave set off or plug it in. Pick a side, you're at war. It was terrible. But, yeah.
I need to go to Nullsec more often.
You should. It's a land of magic and wonder. We haven't really caught anything that really rivaled it. We caught a 3 billion paladin. That's about as close as it comes. 3 billion Scorp Navy, but that wasn't in the contract area. Another 2 billion paladin. We caught two Macarials at the same time. That was interesting. Yeah. Still ongoing. We have another half a week at minimum. And our employer is at this point looking at it like he might extend. So we could be down here for quite a bit.
I've got to ask, which is paying more, the contract or the loot? Because if you keep looting Snake Omegas, then that's going to quickly rival whatever you're getting paid.
It'd be hard to say because I'm not 100% sure how much of the loot we've actually recovered. A lot of the time you're dropping on these targets and then GTFOing pretty quickly. But I would estimate that it's got to be at least tied at this point, if not perhaps a little bit more. Just because of the sheer volume and so many faction modules that have dropped.
Yep.
The downside is we're burning like massive amounts of fuel.
Oh,
this blackout stuff, like 2 billion a week. It's crazy.
How are those ice changes working out for you?
They suck. You know, when we ask CCP Fozzy to please, as part of our reasonable changes to Black Ops, reduce the fuel use. We do not expect them to increase ice prices quite so much. Maybe we would have asked for a little bit more. Oh well. It's still a lot of fun, you know. You have to pay a little bit to have fun. This week in Mercs, Ollie will bring you the full Surely You're Joking heist story, which she was kind enough to actually do some investigation on.
Yeah, so we talked this a little bit last week, or at least I talked about it a little bit last week, but the extent of that talking about it was there was a contract and 500 billion worth of stuff blew up. I talked to one of the guys from Surely You're Joking and got the fuller story. The contract started when one of the members of the Last Chancers wanted to leave to join Surely You're Joking. And he wanted to leave because Last Chancers has been using a lot of slow cat carriers in wormhole space. And he wanted to get back to more sub-capital PvP. And asked to take down his tower, and Last Chancers said no. And stripped all of his roles. But they missed one of his alts, so he was able to contact Surely You're Joking and give them a route in and the promise of 12 to 14 carriers as payment for their time and trouble, which they happily took and just came in and trashed the place.
Very interesting. Definitely a good windfall for SYJ.
Moral of the story, don't screw over your friends, or if you're going to screw over your friends, at least strip their roles correctly.
If you're going to screw somebody, do a thorough job of it.
Exactly. This is another thing in the category of, you know, cool or not cool, bro.
Oh, I think this is definitely cool, because it's entirely their fault. Like, they should have kept track of his alts. It would have been easy to do, and just do them all at once. They forgot one, they paid the ultimate price.
And it was a dick move to start out with, so.
Yep. If you think your Mercorp is doing something interesting, send the story over to Alexei of Card in game, and we'll be happy to talk about it on the cast. I also want to talk to you guys about an EVE meetup that's going to go on. This is the Toronto EVE Online meetup. It is the largest Canadian meetup of the year. It's going to be Friday, August 23rd at 9 p.m. 152 Augusta Drive, Toronto. And it's going to be, looks like quite an event. They've got possibly CCP Fozzy. They've got ship giveaways, Plex giveaways, all thanks to Summer Blank. They've got EVE music provided by EVE Radio DJs. And they're giving away game time codes and swag from the community team. Now, it sounds like it's going to be quite a party that I kind of wish I could go to. If you have any other questions about the event or you want more details, join the in-game channel Toronto EVE Online, three words, or contact Tempest in-game, that's T3MP3S7. I don't know why he would bother to put in so many numbers in his name, and ask for that to be read up on the air. But okay. definitely go to this if you're Canadian and remotely near the area. I've heard a lot of good things about the sort of the EVE scene up in Canada, and they certainly have the support from CCP to make it one heck of a shindig.
So far, I've only ever been to one EVE meetup, which was in Nashville 2 years ago now. Fantastic. If you're worried about going and being awkward in public, don't worry. You can be awkward in public with lots of other people together, and that's what makes it fun.
I've been to a couple of meetups. When I was on the CSM, I tried to... Not that I super went out of my way, but, you know, if there was one within driving distance, I'd make my best effort to go. And they were always great. Great conversation, telling a lot of stories, having a lot of fun, talking some smack and occasionally. And you never know who you're going to meet and what they might be able to do for you in and out of game. Go for the networking, if nothing else.
Well, I've never been to one because my current, about to be former city has never had one.
Maybe you should start one.
Well, I'm moving next to Two Steps, so I'll just do that.
There you go. CSM segment, take it away, Ollie.
All right. This week in CSM, we had an awesome meeting with CCP Siegel a while back. Well, not that long ago. I can't talk much about it other than just to say that it was awesome and people should be excited. other vague bits. Followed up on something and heard some good stuff about it. So CSM continues to work for you, etc. And continue to follow up on something with CCP in that meeting and got some good stuff there. So that's the vague section. The not vague section, medium railguns are getting a buff. Rise tweeted a picture, which got everyone really excited and spiked the price of ships which can use them. And as a payoff for that buff, they're getting a bit of tracking nerf. And that was actually something that we went back and forth on quite a lot in the chats. I made some graphs to, you know, see what it would do. And what it ends up doing is it makes it so that the guns are better in the areas where they're already hitting well. They hit a little bit less worse at sort of the marginal areas, so they're a little bit easier to evade. But that nerf is necessary because otherwise they would start crowding out large short-range weapons or medium short-range weapons, just because you could buff the tracking up to the point where it wouldn't even hit like a railgun anymore.
Well, so speaking of the short-range weapons, how are they gonna fare? Like, for instance, if a target was super webbed down, you know, is there still going to be an advantage to taking the short-range weapons? And is that advantage significant enough that you think it's going to be still done?
Yes.
It's
the overall damage potential of the short-range medium platform is still going to be significantly higher than the long-range medium platform. And this isn't just railguns, mind you. This is also beams and artillery that are getting this treatment with varying numbers.
It's just most significant on railguns, and they're the ones that are my love.
Well, medium railguns have been sort of the redheaded stepchild of the medium gun line for a long time.
Yep. I ran the numbers, and with the mediums, you still get higher. Or with the medium short range, you get higher DPS. With the medium long range, you get higher DPS, and you know, if you're flying Tech 2 blasters on a Talos, you can still apply damage out pretty far, and you can still apply more damage than a medium platform would.
Alright, groovy. That sounds like a pretty solid design decision to me.
Yep. If you can't fly Tech 2 blasters on a Talos, I can't. It's a very high SP roll. Medium railguns have got your back. You can still do skirmishing without having to spec into pulse lasers or anything like that.
It's going to be really interesting to see what this does to several doctrines, I would think, like pulse zealots. And that sort of stuff, they might get a rework.
They're still good. They've got the same kind of range. They can be comfortable at the range that the thoraxes are engaging at. They've got the low SIG, which means that they mitigate the DPS from the railguns or the other guns, because that tracking nerf is going to affect performance versus pulse zealots. So...
my guys have already been debating whether we might actually see the existence of a rail Proteus.
It seems crazy.
I know it's a long shot, but people, you know, Galente Bites might actually give up the drones on that subsystem for a pure turret subsystem with a tracking bonus and just go for railguns.
That sounds like fun. I mean, my alliance has already been flying medium railguns because we wanted to engage it edge of point ranged out to about 40 kilometers, and we couldn't guarantee that we'd have people with the SP and either pulse lasers or blasters to fly those.
I really appreciate what it does to the meta. I love any change that shakes things up, you know? And this definitely is gonna do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll get more sort of Tech 1 fast skirmish fleets. Right now they're mostly brawlers because that's where you can guarantee good damage and good damage application at a range of SP and ISK.
There are quite a few new, like, especially since the cruiser revamp, there are quite a few Tech 1 ships that would really benefit from that. I mean, not just the Thorax.
Mm-hmm. Arty ruptures are a thing?
Yeah, if they're not right now, they will be.
Beam omens?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the beam omen is going to be so good.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. You can even do like a beam zealot and get into sort of the quasi-sniper arena.
It might be done, actually. It really depends on where things sort of shake down. I get the feeling from most of the alliances that fly zealots, the zealot is sort of the go-to for damage application at like mid-range. That's sort of the ship that you want to go for. So if there are targets fighting at that mid-range, then the zealot is always going to have a role. If that range gets pushed out a little bit, they might go for the beam lasers to tap into that without having to swap over to, say, an Oracle or some other ship that perhaps has less tanking capabilities.
Yeah, the Oracle is still the better platform in terms of damage out at around 60 kilometers, but the Zealot is at least more competitive.
I would always prefer, well, personally, I prefer a Zealot over an Oracle, even though the Oracle has a little more range, assuming you're armor tanking in both.
Right.
The Shield Oracle is still pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, you just have to hope that no one even looks at it, because if you sneeze, it'll fall over.
Yeah, it's got a better tank than you think.
That's true of all of the attack battle cruisers, though.
Yeah. But yeah, you can still get about 20k out of it, at least. And it doesn't take much more than that to tank a tower, assuming you have someone take that first shot. So it's still going to be the go-to for all kinds of structure bashes, because it has no ammo, great DPS, and pretty solid range.
Structure bashing meta, best meta.
So in other CSM news, the 7 that are going to Iceland have officially been announced. Announced just today, actually. Minna and Rippard, we already knew about, but also going our very own Ali Arras, our very own, at least today, James Arjet.
Oh yeah.
Also going Corvin, Mike Azariah, and Trevor Dadu. How did you guys arrive at this decision? Was it more CCP? Was it more the CSM? I think a lot of people are interested in how this process is starting to unfold, because this is the first time that we're actually able to select who goes instead of it just being decided by the vote numbers.
CCP Dolan went, and he's the one that made the final decision, because what he did is he consolidated the input that he had received from individual CSM members via email and from CCP internally through whatever black magic animal sacrifice process that was, and then he pulled the name out of a hat and it ended up being us7.
Are you guys pleased with this?
Yeah.
Yes. As much as I'm making fun of him for it, I am pretty happy.
Not you two personally. Obviously you are. But I mean, the CSM as a body with this delegation.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anyone complain yet.
So I'm noticing some names that are conspicuous by their absence. Malkanis, Kesper North.
Malkanis said he couldn't make it.
Ah.
Our decision was made easier, and I think CCP's decision was made easier by people saying that they just plain old couldn't make it that weekend for whatever reason.
Was that the case with Kesper as well? Or?
If I recall correctly, yes. We ended up with a small number of people who a reasonable number of people who couldn't make it, and slightly larger than desired number of people who could, and just had to whittle that down. And whoever doesn't come in the summer is probably going to end up showing up in the winter. So,
no, fair point. But I think it's a good mix.
I will go on a limb and I'll stretch the NDA and say, Dolan informed us that we have drastically outperformed past CSMs in terms of participation.
He said that on the forum too.
Did he? Well, I don't read the forums.
That wouldn't be hard to believe, considering.
I read them when other CSMs link me to them, and they do that often enough as it is.
Participation in the CSM has always been a problem.
Right. So most likely the people that did not attend this round will end up going in winter, but it also really has to be stressed that even if you're not sitting on a rock in the middle of the North Atlantic, all the CSMs are encouraged and welcome and will be participating whenever they can via Link, which is Microsoft teleconferencing software. We've done ECSM meetings both on Skype and with Link. Link is vastly superior for its performance and its features.
And it doesn't kick us out when we have more than 9 CSMs on call.
Yeah, it has integrated recording functions. People can drop out and come in on their own without any kind of moderation needed. It's great, and so I've got no doubt that it's going to be the 7 of us all sitting around talking with CCP, and also the other guys chiming in whenever they need to.
Very cool. So to recap for our audience, we have someone from Goonswarm, which is a Coalition Leader Alliance. We've got Ripbard Tag, who lives in NPC Nullsec and does small gang PvP. We've got Ali Ross, who does PvP in Providence with pretty low SP players and one of the smallest coalitions of the game, which he does not lead. We've got James.
Small gang PvP too.
Mostly small gang PvP. We got James, who does some awesome stuff in Wormhole Space. We've got Corvin of the Russian community, also 00. We've got Mike Azariah of the casual high sec breed. And we've got Trevor Daydu, who's sort of a hybrid casual high secer from his past and his current life as a black ops specialist with Dirtnap Squad. So I don't think you could imagine a more diverse group. I think the only thing you're missing is like a major minor person or someone that does huge industry.
Oh, but Ripley
funds industry too.
We're missing faction war.
Well, you didn't elect a faction warfare person this time
around,
did we?
It's because no faction warfare people ran.
Yeah. It's because we all knew who it was going to be, and then he dropped out, and everyone went, no! So yeah, that's the only thing we're missing. It's a really great group, and I'm fairly sure that we're going to have similar composition in winter, maybe just lacking the high sec person.
Again, there was only one, so you only have so many to pick from. But it is cool that the high sec rep gets to go to Iceland this time around. That's a rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw spoons, Mike. Don't throw spoons. And that is it for Declarations of War 54. Go to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll. Leave a comment and put in a donation. This podcast is listener-supported, and the donations, recurring donations, shirt sales, and sponsorships help pay for hosting, editing, and all kinds of cool other stuff, including contests, which we tried to do with the Rahatalon one, but we didn't get anyone freaking entering. So we have these two Plex prizes sitting around, and I'm devising what we do with them. I'm willing to take an audience suggestion. I see where you're coming from, but no.
You should give them to all hosts in attendance.
Ah. That does have a certain appeal. But all joking aside, thank you for your support, and please continue doing it. Whatever you can give, buy some shirts, they're awesome. And yeah. We can reach Noir the Corp via our public channel, Cafe Noir Dot. And apply to join us for Noir Academy at the forums, www.noirmerch.com. Come hot drop test. It's a lot of fun. Come on, let's go. Fly safe, guys, and good hunting.
What it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit me get up. First shot, hip strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy yet. Bad moonwalking. And this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music. I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T shit hustling. Chasing dreams. since I was 14 with the four-track bussin'. Halfway across that city with the back question. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back?
Yeah, I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanna go fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We raw. Time to go up, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now, sing this song and it goes like... Raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Can we go back?
I felt better about letting Sen Supers fucking die. I feel like Makalu right now. I'm smug as fuck.
God damn.